Our first scripture lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, and the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody. You know, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like these first 4 days of 2019 have been the whole month of January. Does it feel like that? Yeah, especially here around the church, and some of you who are helping get ready for that concert last night, and those of you who were here have seen what a transformation it took for that concert to take place, and then for us to get back to worship. Who was here last night for the concert? Yeah, I hope everybody had a good time. I will let those of you know who were here that I had some communication with the Tim Carter Band early this morning. They got to Fort Lauderdale safely last night, and they're on their way on the final leg on down to Key West, and they thoroughly enjoyed being here and wanted me to thank you for your hospitality. So thank you. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew. This is not the traditional Epiphany reading from the Gospel of Matthew. The traditional Epiphany reading is the story of the Magi coming to visit the infant Jesus. But I chose another scripture later in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. It's from the 5th chapter of Matthew. And this is, of course, after Jesus is an adult and he is teaching his disciples. But to me, it is a very appropriate epiphany accompaniment to that passage from Isaiah that says, "Arise, your light is come." From the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, starting at verse 14. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And as we read the scriptures, it is Jesus speaking to us. You are the light of the world. I can imagine Jesus even repeating this. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Well, today is Epiphany. It's one of those church holidays that we usually don't make a big deal about, other than the fact that in most Christian denominations, we do end the Christmas season on Epiphany. But Epiphany is the celebration of Christ among us, the celebration of God with us. The same thing that we have been hearing over and over throughout Advent and Christmas: Emmanuel, God with us, light coming into darkness. It's all the same language that we've been hearing all through Advent and on Christmas. Epiphany, the celebration of light in the world. How many of you have your Christmas trees up still? All right, I love it. You should keep your Christmas trees and your lights on through Epiphany. Because Christmas is not over when you've cleaned up the wrapping paper. Christmas is not a day, it's a season. And we take it through Epiphany to celebrate the light in the world. There was a few years ago when I was kind of Scrooge. I got in a Scrooge mood about Christmas, and I was one of those moods where, don't people know the real meaning of Christmas? What's all this stuff about lights everywhere? And then I started thinking about it, how absolutely wonderful it is that at least once a year we light up our communities, we light up our yards, we bring light into our houses, and it does lift our spirits, doesn't it? I mean, especially some of the houses here in Clearwater. Wow! I'd hate to see their power bills. But it's so much fun. And it just fills us with a feeling of joy just to have the light in our lives. We do it here in our sanctuary with our lit trees and our candles. I mean, every Sunday we have the light of Christ in the Christ candle in our baptismal font. The candles on the chancel that represent the presence of God among us. Light. But the Christmas season comes to an end. And today, as has already been mentioned, we will unhang the greens. We will take down the decorations. Now I'll ask you another question. How many of you are taking down your decorations today or tomorrow? How many of you just leave them up all year? I've known people. Wait a minute, Bobby Hoots, you're here, aren't you? You have Bobby Hoots? She has a year-round Christmas tree in her house that she redecorates in some ways. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But today we undecorate, and as we do that, there's imagery here that I'd just like to bring to us this morning. We are in the darkest days of the year. The shortest days of the year. We are in the cosmic cycles when we have more darkness every day in the northern hemisphere than we have light. We just made the shift a couple of weeks ago in the winter solstice toward more light, but we're still in the days where we have more darkness. And so we are still in winter darkness. But Advent, Christmas, Epiphany is not about physical darkness. It's about darkness in our lives. It's about darkness in our culture. It's about darkness in our world. in the Old Testament, when Isaiah says, "Arise, your light has come," it's talking about light coming into the darkness of captivity by the Babylonians and the Persians. In the New Testament, arise, your light is coming into the world. It comes into the oppression, the imperial oppression of the Roman Empire. In just about every time and place, every culture can identify the darkness in that culture. We in our own society can identify darkness. And it's about bringing light into those dark places in our culture. And we don't have to use a lot of imagination to know those, my friends. Just pick up your newspaper. Read the front page. Go to your news sources on the internet. Turn on your radio. You'll see it. You'll hear it. But we are called to be the light of the world in darkness. You know, I started thinking early this morning about light and early cultures, ancient human cultures, the first people to have fire, for example. They didn't have matches. They didn't have those lighters, that butane lighters to light things. So where did they get their fire? Anybody who has ever been a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout has rubbed sticks together and hit rocks together and done things like that. But how did they keep a fire? Cultures, ancient cultures actually had fire pots. Especially nomadic cultures who moved about. And they carried the fire with them. It may not be a flaming fire, but they would carry glowing embers so that a fire could easily be started in fire pots. And I'd like for us to imagine this morning that we are fire pots of the Spirit of God. I want to share a couple of quotations with you here this morning. One of them comes from an interview just recently with one of the iconic leaders for women's rights in our country. Not only our country, but around the world. Just recently, Gloria Steinem was being interviewed. And one question in that interview was, "Who are you passing your torch to?" And you know what she said? She says, "I'm not giving up my torch, thank you very much. I'm using it to light other people's torches, because everybody has a torch. If there's only one torch, no wonder we don't know where we're going." How about that? No, especially in our congregation, in our community, where we are blessed with an experienced congregation. Don't be passing your torch to anybody. You keep that torch burning so you can light other people's torches. I read this quote just about every Epiphany. And if there is an epiphanal text of the modern age, I think this is it, what you're about to hear. Thomas Merton, the Trappist monk out in Gethsemane in Kentucky, who was one of the most prolific and profound writers of the 1960s until his tragic death in 68. But he has given us a plethora of writing and teaching on how to actually live the gospel and to discover who we really are. Well, Thomas Merton would go into Louisville from the monastery occasionally to see a physician. He was going in to see his physician one day, and he was in Louisville, and he was on the corner of what then was 4th and Walnut Street in Louisville, Kentucky. And he had an epiphany. I won't read the whole thing to you, but I will read a portion of it to you as he described this event on that street in downtown Louisville. In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like walking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation in a special world, the world of renunciation and supposed holiness. This sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. I have the immense joy of being human, a member of a race in which God is incarnate, as if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me. Now I realize what we are. And if only everybody could realize this. But it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that we are all walking around shining like the sun. My friends, this is what Epiphany is about. Sure, we celebrate Jesus as the light coming into the darkness. But if we read the Gospels and listen to Jesus, He tells us over and over and over again, you, us, we are the light of the world. Don't put it under a bushel. Let it shine in your good works. I'm afraid that we have some dark days ahead of us. And we're going to need some people to give some light. Amen. Our charge this morning comes from author Alan Cohen. You and I carry within us a spark of spirit we can fan into flame and energize our life. This spark is created and sustained by the grace of God. No matter what challenges we face, how depressed we get, or what wayward paths we wander off on, our sacred ember glows. It is not ours to extinguish. It belongs to God and the part of us that is God. We can ignore the spark, refuse to fan it, or reduce our flame to a tiny glimmer, yet it burns without interruption. At any moment, we can grow our spark into a fire by finding our passion, acting on it, and ceasing to engage in activities that dampen it. The existence of our divine spark is non-negotiable. How much we allow it to light up our life and the world around us is up to us. Amen.